reading Hebrews chapter 5 from verses 5 to 10. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. As he saith also in another place, Thou art a priest for ever after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Christ is the author of salvation to all them that obey him. That is a sweeping statement, but it is the only way that any of us will get to heaven. It is through Christ, the author of our salvation. And we see him described in verse 5 as a high priest. Now we know from the Old Testament that the priests made sacrifices for the sins of the people. And we know that the high priest once a year had to make sacrifices for the people, but not only for the people, but also for himself, because he was not perfect. But Christ, who was perfect, did not have to make those sacrifices for himself, because he was holy. And we can see that in Hebrews chapter 7, two chapters further on. We see in verse 22, so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament, and they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. They died. But this man, because he continueth forever, have an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for us. For such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once, when he offered up himself. Friends, the stark contrast between Jesus Christ and every high priest that came before him was that Christ only had to make one sacrifice for sins, whereas all the high priests before him had to make sacrifices every year. And those sacrifices of animals covered sin, covered their sin, covered the people's sin, but had to be repeated because the people kept sinning. Until Christ came along, he made that final sacrifice of himself. And today we look into the mysteries of that sacrifice, because we see what Christ went through before he went to the cross. And it provides a key for us to understand the life that we must live through him, if we want to have the benefits of that sacrifice. And so we see Christ, appointed by God to be our high priest. Christ, the Son of God. God himself, and yet we see him fully man. And we see him as fully man here in this passage. We have an insight into what it was like just before his crucifixion. Have a look at verse 7. This is the key verse, really, of today's study. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. I wonder if you're wondering, well, when did Christ offer up these prayers? It was just before he died. And I don't know if you remember, but before he was arrested, he went to the Garden of Gethsemane and he prayed about what was about to happen. We see that in Luke chapter 22, just when he went on the Mount of Olives, to the Mount of Olives, where the Garden of Gethsemane was. And we read from verse 39. And he came out and went, as he was wont, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. Before he went to the cross, the Lord Jesus prayed for the cup to be taken from him. He did not want to go through the agony that was before him if he didn't have to. And that shows a man, as well as God. This was Christ in his humanity, in his flesh, dreading the pain and suffering that he was about to go through. And he came with tears before God. And there's a very interesting ending to this supplication of Christ, because we see that he was heard. You might say, well, how was the Lord Jesus heard if the prayer was not answered? He was praying, Lord, take this cup from me, but not my will, yours be done. He was praying that he'd be spared the pain and suffering that was before him. And it says that he was heard in that he feared. So often, we are looking to God to answer prayers. And if we don't have prayers answered, we think, well, God doesn't hear me. Perhaps God doesn't exist. Here we have, though, something much more significant. He heard. God heard his prayer. So often, if you are going through a very unhappy time in life, you know, there's someone you can speak to and tell them your problems. And often they won't give you an answer. They'll sit there and they'll listen. And you're just so relieved to have somebody who you can tell your problems to. I don't know if you've listened to other people and then afterwards say, you know, I feel such a load taken from me. And people say, what is it, that a burden shared, sorry, a burden shared is a burden halved, is it? What's the expression? Whatever it is.
A problem shared is problem solved.
Well, thank you. The point is that when you share your problems, you find that the burden lifts. And so it is in the Christian faith. You see, Christ feared the death that he was going to die, and he wanted to avoid it. And we see here that God could have saved him from death. Just have a look, please, at verse 7. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard and that he feared. He was coming to one who had the power to save him from the cross. Now, there are various ways we can understand that verse. Because actually, God did save, in one sense, save Christ from death. He saved him from the effect of death because he raised him from the dead on the third day. Now, that's one way of looking at it. But the other way is that he had to take, and I think this is the better way, he had to swallow that cup, because otherwise humanity would have been wiped out. But when he prayed, he was strengthened. We see in Luke chapter 22 that after he prayed, an angel strengthened him. That God strengthened him for what he was about to go through. And friends, very often, when we pray, when we have some dreadful thing to go through in life, then, and we want to avoid it, we will find that God will not take that away from us, but he will strengthen us when we go through it. So often, as I said, people think that prayer is about just asking God for the things that I want and that I think I need. And so often those prayers aren't answered. And James tells us why in verse 3 of chapter 4 of his letter. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. The things that we've asked for, perfectly legitimate perhaps. A new car, a new job, a husband or a wife. These things that are for me. Sometimes God will grant, but he will not always grant. Houses, whatever it is, holidays, many lawful things that he will sometimes give, but also sometimes withhold. See, the secret of the Christian life is here in Hebrews chapter 5. Christ had to go through death to be raised to life on our behalf. Anybody who wants to come to Christ has to come the same way, through death. Which is why I've entitled this talk from verse 9, that he is the author of eternal salvation to them which obey him. And friends, if we want salvation ourselves, we can only have it through death. Now, for Christ, that death was the death on the cross. But for us, there is also a death on the cross that we go through, that we might know life. You see, if you'd like to turn to Galatians 2, verse 20, we'll see how Paul so eloquently described that death that each person must go through if you want to know the life of Christ, in this world. Galatians 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. The Christian life is about death. Death to my life. Death to my dreams. Death to myself. Because, as again the Bible tells us, in me dwelleth no good thing. I am a sinner destined for hell. If I try and get to heaven based on any merit I think I might have, I will fail. And Isaiah describes all my good works as filthy rags. That was Isaiah talking. How much less any good works that I might have. The only way to heaven is through death. The death of the cross. Christ had to go through a literal death on our behalf. We go through a spiritual death in the sense that we die to our old life. We die to all our dreams. We die. Mark Mullins dies. And it's wonderfully demonstrated in baptism. When you go under the waters of baptism, I'm not talking about an infant baptism here, when you get a little spot of water on your forehead. I'm talking about the baptism in water that a believer goes through. You go under the water. And I was baptized in Hong Kong. And when I went under the water, I thought to myself, I'm in the grave. Because the old Mark Mullins was buried. The Mark Mullins of all his sin, all his worldly ambitions was buried. And then when I came out of the water, it was symbolizing that it was no longer the old Mark Mullins that lived, but Christ in Mark Mullins. And that was what the Lord now sees. He doesn't see Mark, the old Mark Mullins, who's dead. But he sees the new Mark Mullins, who is alive. And sometimes that death is painful. Because that we are told to carry, we have to mortify the old nature after we become Christians. We've got to keep it dead. You might think it's a bit strange. How can you keep something dead? It is dead. But it is by faith we live. And that old nature still tries to reassert itself. And it has to be put to death. And it's painful. Dreams, ambitions, whatever it is. And the call of Christ might be very hard. And you might, like the Lord Jesus himself, you might be driven to cry out to God in tears because of the pain that you might know that you will go through. And friends, it's important to realize that as Christians that God will not spare us from suffering. But, as he did for the Lord Jesus, he will give us the grace that we need to go through that trial. It is through that death that we know life. And when we come to Christ, we must be willing to lay down our old life and invite Christ in. When we invite Christ in, we're saying, Lord, I'm willing to lay down all that went before. I repent of my sins and I turn to Christ and I say, Lord, come and live in my heart. And that exchange takes place. And that's what being born again is. See, we have to understand the cost of what we're going to do to become Christians. It's a great transaction that takes place. Because in the place of my life, I am asking Christ to live his life through me. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who gave himself for me. Here we have in Hebrews chapter 5, Christ standing at the gate of death, asking God to spare him from this suffering. And it's interesting to note too that he was heard in that he feared. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. So often today we live in a society that does not fear God, that has nothing but derision for him. People express that derision in unbelief, refusing even to accept that he exists. But friends, he does exist. But he will not make himself known to those who are presumptuous, who think that they can come their way to him. We read in Luke chapter 23 about how the thief on the cross came to Christ. And such an encouraging passage of scripture, because it gives hope to everybody, even on the point of death, that they might yet come to know Christ. We see in verse 39, and one of the malefactors, that's one of the robbers, which were hanged, railed on him, that's on Jesus, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Do you see the difference between the two thieves, the two malefactors? One just poured derision on Christ. One attacked Christ. And how many people in life spend their lives taking the Lord Jesus' name in vain? Rejecting, pouring scorn on the gospel account. But not the other one. Not everybody does that. You see, this man had the right answer. Dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation, and we indeed justly? He understood he was a sinner. And he feared God because he knew that God would punish him for his sins when he died. And he didn't want that. But he saw in Christ one who could save him. And friends, we want to understand the gospel, then we must understand that we are sinners in the hands of a God of anger against sin, who will judge that sin and send the sinner to hell if he does not repent. That is the reality of what lies beyond the grave. Friends, we're all going to leave this body at some point. It's only a matter of time. I hope that all of us live to a ripe old age. But I can't guarantee it for any of us. We all know that death can come in various guises at any moment. And the one certainty is that we'll all die. But where we go after that depends on the choice we make in this life. And friends, the choice that we must make is the choice for Christ. That we will choose to live our lives for him, that we might go to heaven, that we might know the one high priest who is able to save us. The one high priest who has tasted death for us, who knows what it's like to suffer to the uttermost, because there can be no greater suffering than what Christ suffered on our behalf. And so this is, these verses that we've looked at in Hebrews are an encouragement to us to come to Christ as he came to God, to ask him for help. See that the Lord Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye who labour and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me, and I will give you rest for your souls. For my burden is easy, my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." And friends, Christ also says, invites us to take up our cross daily, to deny ourselves, take up our cross daily, and follow him. And that means being willing to die to ourselves that we might live for Christ. God is able to save us from death. He will save us through death. We will all die. If we want to know Christ, we will die now to ourselves, and we will know the life of Christ sustaining us. And I can tell you from my experience that that life is a far better life than anything that I lived before. And that is the testimony of every Christian. And every Christian who dies before Christ returns will go through death, but they will be strengthened through that final battle, and they will be saved from the consequences of their sin and go to heaven. Friends, that is the great blessing of the Christian life. And we have a high priest who has gone before us, and we are invited to turn to him. And I would invite all of us to come to him and ask him to be the author of our salvation, that we might be willing to obey him, to obey the call to repent of our sins and turn to Christ for salvation. Amen.